Very good. Are you there? I'm going to recount the text we launched from last week. I'm going to start from that again today, but go in a little bit different direction. Here, Paul talking to the church in Corinth, chapter 15, verse 1 said, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me as one abnormally or untimely born." Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for this season that we're in as we were able to truly celebrate your getting up last week. But Father, we will live in the continuation of that. It won't just be a peak in the calendar and then we go back down. Father, teach us how to hold to that high place all throughout the year, that it's not just once or twice in the calendar, but all throughout the year we download the benefits, Father, of resurrection in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Are you doing okay today? Everyone all right? Are you happy in the Lord and you know it? We had a good men's meeting yesterday. We went all the way down to the last piece of bacon. There was a lot said about bacon, and we had it. So kudos again to LaRon and Michelle for opening their home. Great, great time, and we'll do more of those. Some of y'all know that one of my favorite authors is Dr. R.T. Kendall. He was the pastor of Westminster Chapel in London for 25 years. Just an incredibly brilliant theologian, also Oxford trained, thoroughly a word man, but also spirit man, word and spirit, evangelical in his scholarship of the word, but charismatic in regard to his theology of the things of the spirit. So he's always been a favorite of mine. But he wrote an interesting article years ago entitled Between the Times. Between the Times. Can we say that together? Between the Times. And the premise of the article was written for people who sometimes did not know what to do between one former move of God and the next move of God that had not yet dawned on the earth. Hence, between the times, in between. One revival had come and gone and had been milked for all of its worth. But when the new thing had not yet broken out, many fell into this place that, to use the tennis term, no man's land is when you're not on the service line or at the net and you're not on the baseline. You're caught near the service line where you can be passed. You want to either be at the net or be on that baseline. But when God has moved powerfully in one season, which is great, we celebrate that. But the next powerful season has yet to break in, and you find yourself kind of, you know, celebrating what he did, but what's he doing now? And so it's kind of that no man's land, and a lot of people don't know what to do with that period between seasons. They get a little bit insecure. They wonder, God, are you still there? God, certainly you've not left. It's not always a favorite moment. But we must understand that God is a God of the seasons. He's a God of the seasons, and every season has an ordained purpose. But the awkward transitionary times between seasons also have their purpose and serve their purpose. What they do is they purge us off the mere novelty and force us to go after God afresh and after the person of Jesus afresh. I have, over the years, I have actually observed those who seem to thrive during revival, as it were, but after that special season has done its work. The people seem to fall off the scene. Some backslide. Some, sadly, even crash and burn during that in-between period. Because, you see, the season of revival was artificially holding and propping them up. But they may not have had a true root in Jesus, in the person of Christ. Now, let me pose the question today. Is Jesus enough? Is he enough? What if you don't have goosebump number one? Is he enough? Sure he is, now and always. But there are seasons where God breaks in a powerful way. It doesn't obscure Christ. It accentuates the person of Jesus. It heightens our love for God. It heightens our discipline. It heightens our commitment. It heightens our consecration. But even in these powerful seasons, even if you're riding a wave, so to speak, how many of you know a wave has a beginning and a wave has an end? A season has a beginning and a season has an end. But even in that, the excitement of the movement and the energy of that moment, he's still not obscured. He's still flat right in the middle. He's the author of the movement. Are we here? And he's to be the foundation for sure. But if the commitment is more to the season versus the person of Jesus, there are going to probably be some problems. Probably be a few problems. The misguided affection could actually be a form of idolatry. And, you know, that's why the author of Ecclesiastes said it's not wise to refer to the good old days. It's not wise to enshrine something as if that was it and that could never be done again. Actually, according to the wisdom of Scripture, God will top that. God will top that. He doesn't diminish, he increases. But if you're in between the times, don't give in to the temptation to peter out and think, oh, the best has already come. Oh, for the good old day. I remember when. Oh, wasn't it nice? And you can kind of hear that, you know, that falling off. It's almost a sigh, you know, as if it'll never happen again. I guess he just stopped doing that. You know, oh, for the good old day. But I'm sure in the sweet by and by, you know, it's either relegating it to the past or sometime in infinity, you know, that it's going to take decades to get there, you see. But what do we do in the now? I mean, you know, Jesus is just enough alive right now in the in-between times as he is in concentrated times of his moving. Are we here? I mean, even in the dark ages, we've gone on record before to say there was always a light. There was always a testimony. There was always movings of the Lord. So if you track it in church history, there are always crescendos, and there's some depths, there's some valleys, there's some mountains, and there's some peaks, and then there's some low moments. But Jesus was always constant through and through. He never changed. He never left the, you know, the scene. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never ceased being God. He was always there in the wings. But we have to be careful. What is our commitment to? Because if the power surge isn't as great as it was at one period, will we fall off our commitment to him? And if we're not careful, we can make an idol of the movement. Are we here? Or we can make an idol of the season. We can even make an idol of revival. That's great, but it's all about him. It all points to him. Are we here? So there can be all kind of misguided affections that could be a form of idolatry. Wanting the stuff of God, but not God. And I know that sounds odd, but it's possible to just be addicted to the stuff of God, but not really caring that much to get near to God. We love the fluff. We love the tricks. We love the razzle-dazzle. I mean, Jesus himself ministered freely to the multitudes. You know, he gave them, you know, all you can eat, you know, fish fries, you know, and walked on the water, and people were wowed and they were dazzled, you know, and ooh, there he is walking on the water. Ooh, multiplying the bread and the fish. Wow. Ooh. Ah. And oh, the multitudes loved it. Wow. You know, but then he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part of me. And they're like, bye, you know. It's like the first membership drive. And so they like the razzle-dazzle, the glitter, all of that, and which is all good and well. It's all of God. But we don't build on that. We build on the person of Jesus. We allow the river to come through, but we build on the rock. Are we here? And so he would turn to them and realize, I'm going to bless them, but I really can't build with that crowd. I can't build with the crowd. I can build with the disciples. I can build with those that will remain in the yoke and be faithful to me. I can build with them. And that's why he built with a few. That's why even God wanted to show his strength through Gideon and what he did through him, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago. So it's not merely the stuff. We're looking for him. It's not the tricks, the lure, the candy. None of these things are the substantive foundation, but 1 Corinthians 3:11 says that there's only one foundation, which is Christ Jesus. Can you say one foundation? So even the stuff of God doesn't knock us off that foundation. We want all that God has. We love the hand of God, but we're always going after his face. If you go after his face, you'll get his hand as a byproduct. If you merely go after his hand, you may not get his face. We love both. I love the hand of God, the provision of God, the protection of God, the stuff of God, but nothing has the attractiveness as his face. So if I go after his face, his hand comes with that. So when people find themselves between the times, again, sometimes they don't know what to do unless they're rooted and grounded. Some feel hurt, some disillusioned, some quit. Because there's no fluff, no artificial shiny bait. But I contend Jesus is shiny enough, is he not? If we look, he is absolutely beautiful enough. He is absolutely attractive enough. Certainly he is. There's a story, and I may have shared it here before, of when we were in Guam. And again, you're aware of our movement in the Philippines is quite unique. 100,000. I mean, there's just an open heaven over those over that nation. And a lot of times when I'm conversing with our leaders, they're just assuming it's that way around the world. I'm like, no, you are in a unique season of the favor of the Lord. The open heaven is amazing. Our joke years ago was you could just say boo and people would get saved. And there's actually a place called Cebu, Philippines. It's down in Versailles, you know. But at any rate, it's just they just assumed Christianity was like that all over the world. Well, there was a girl that left that atmosphere and who moved to Guam. Now, she had been caught up in that movement, and there was just a lot of energy, a lot of movement, and she stepped out of that, and she stepped on an island. How many of y'all have, you've heard the reference, if you are all alone on an island? Well, we couldn't say that because there actually we were. But anyway, she went from that context into Guam, and all of a sudden she found herself somewhat bankrupt, because she had been riding off all the residue of the movement, which artificially substituted for a relationship with the Lord. Does that make sense? So you can get around that moving and that stirring and think that's you when you've not really dug a deep well yourself or not truly gone after the Lord yourself. So when she was pulled out of that environment, then all of a sudden she realized, well, I don't have much root. I don't have much foundation. So it was like living off the coattails of others who had paid a price to dig in. Does that make sense? And so that shallow foundation began to show itself and it began to manifest, and she realized that it was artificially carrying her. And so an analogy could be like this. And again, there are times and seasons of the Lord, but when a surfer catches a wave and rides away, they're on their board, they're waiting out, and they're just waiting, they're looking, and they find the one that they want to go for. And they get up on that wave, and they ride it as far in as they can possibly go. Sometimes they don't get all the way in to the shoreline, but sometimes they actually do. I've seen them like go all the way up and get their toes in the sand. A lot of times they'll either just jump off and go back out to deeper water. But there's sometimes when they're on that surfboard, they'll get all the way off and into the sand. And it's like that is a good, long, thorough ride. But wouldn't it be odd if you were watching someone that was surfing and they made it all the way to the sand and they kind of stepped off their board and they were right there and you looked at them and they were still kind of lunging and lurching, you know, and they were still kind of, you know, they were still kind of trying to, what is the deal, trying to make it happen, you know, and getting, wouldn't that be kind of an odd looking at, you know, like they're doing the funky chicken right there for the world to see, and you would think, you know, well, do you need some medicine, what's the deal, but they're out there, and they're frustrated, but here's the deal, the point is, they rode it for all it was worth, they milked it for all it was worth, it was a good ride, it was a good wave. It was a good season, but seasons have a beginning, seasons have an end. Even if you're in a bad season, don't be disheartened. It'll have an end. It's a season. It'll pass. And so the surfer's in there with his toes in the sand, but the logical thing to do is if he wants to ride again, to do what? To turn and to wade back, to paddle back out, to get on that surfboard and to go out into deeper water and to begin to wait and to begin to look again. Sometimes waves come in series. Sometimes it's every seventh one or every sixth one. And they look and they say, no, I'm going to let that one go. Not big enough. That's kind of mediocre. And then they said, oh, that's the one right there. And they begin to position themselves and they paddle, paddle, paddle. And they get it and they ride it until they can't ride it anymore. And then what do? They go. So their adventure is a pattern of going out and riding in. Going out, riding in, going out, riding in. But sometimes in Christianity, we'll go out and we'll ride in and we'll find ourselves between the times, between the waves. And we're like, what's the deal? And it's like, you got to go back out and wait and pray and see. But even if there's not this mammoth experience, it's still a good day. It's still a good day. You've still been outdoors. You've still been in nature. You've still been in the water. You still did not get attacked by a great white that day. You came home. It was a great day. It was a good day, actually. But they look for the next one. Between the times. Between the times. One person commented once about a particular minister, and he said, he is so adept and wise because he has learned how to go from wave to wave to wave versus drying up in the sand, mad, frustrated, and disillusioned. In other words, learning how to step from one wave to the next wave, from one season to the next season, and to not memorialize the former season. Some people have a good run, and they're like, that was amazing. They never go back out, and they build a memorial. They enshrine that experience and they never get wet again, as it were. All the while, Jesus is right there as the root and as the foundation. So, 2,000 years ago, Easter has occurred. Jesus had died and had been raised again. Big event. Wow. How many of y'all know that was a moment? That was a wave. That was revival, as it were. The death, burial, and then the resurrection when he came up out of the earth. That is a big event. Yay, God. Pentecost had not yet occurred. That was another big event to come. It had not yet come. As you'll remember on the calendar, Pentecost is 50 days after the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. So they had an amazing moment. The resurrection was powerful. Obviously, we know there had been appearances. And then there was this time period before Pentecost broke on to the scene. So they were in between. I mean, here they are, in between. Between the times. So the disciples, for the most part, thought things were pretty much done, pretty much over. Jesus is dead. Pentecost had not yet broken in, and they went back to what they just normally did before. And here's the thing, if we're not rooted in Jesus, we will always have the propensity just to go back and do what we always did before. Peter was a fisherman. What'd he do? He said, he went back fishing. went back to what he knew, went back to that which was familiar. People, quote, go back to what they once did if they wrongly think things are over. The season kept them, but out of season, they're not sure what to do. They like the hoopla, but now that the hoopla is not there, they're feeling kind of barren, feeling kind of, oh, what happened? You know, man, it was great yesterday. Easter, woo, yeah, I don't know about today. You were so sensual, are we not? We're so feeling oriented, are we not? People are funny. People are fickle. Y'all remember that movie years ago, The Truman Show with Jim Carrey? Y'all remember that? And this great mastermind had created this artificial world where Jim Carrey, basically people would watch. I mean, that was their version, I guess, of reality TV, but he didn't know he was on reality TV. And the whole show was about watching Jim Carrey get up, you know, go to work and go about his life. And he never went across the bridge because supposedly when he was young, he had a bad experience with the bridge and the water. And so the whole show, The Truman Show, was about watching this guy, you know, live his life. Everyone was in on it but him. He was quite naive. And at the beginning of the show, remember, one of the lights kind of fell, come crashing in. He's like, what is that? And so at any rate, he began to catch on. And he began to figure it out with traffic patterns, and he began to actually see the backside of an elevator open up and see people in there that were maneuvering the whole thing. And so it dawned on him that he had been held somewhat hostage, so he concocted a plan to escape and to break away, which he did. He got a sailboat and he was going to sail away, and they tried to create the storm and the waves and all of that. And he finally found a door, as you remember, that was at the end of the horizon, and he left the stage, as it were. And people watched when he was born. People watched every station of his life. They watched every facet of his life. They were mesmerized by this show. And then when he finally escaped, everybody showed them looking at their TV, and they said, all right, well, that's that. And then they just turned the channel, and they just went on doing what they were doing. It was just so riveting. And when he escaped and the show was over, they were like, all right, well, that's that. It was kind of like Forrest Gump. I don't want to run anymore. You know, and everybody's just, there's all this momentum, and all of a sudden, I don't want to run anymore. And just people are so funny. All right, I'll go on to the next thing. And after Jesus was, you know, offered up, and after he was crucified, they thought it's over, so they just changed the channel. All right, I'm going back fishing. You know, all right, I'll just go back to that bar. All right, I'll just pick up those drugs. All right, I'll just pick up those old. At least those are the familiar things that I know, but I don't know how to handle this in between time. I don't. There are no goosebumps right now. I mean, I like the goose, but there's not goosebump number one right now. So not quite sure what to do. But thank God, because Jesus never dies again and is alive forevermore. It's never over. Even if one season isn't as exciting as another, Jesus has not changed. Jesus has not changed. And if we will press in to get around him, we will discover him. And I'm not even saying this is the case. I'm just saying, historically, Easter, 50 days from that, Pentecost, there was a huge lull in that 50-day period. I mean, they didn't know what they believed. They thought, have I been duped? What in the world is going on? But again, when we're rooted in Christ, when we're rooted in Jesus and not just the fireworks, we realize he truly is the rock that doesn't roll. He truly is steadfast. There is no shadow of turning in him. He always delivers. He never disappoints. Many times we overpromise, underdeliver. I mean, Jesus is always spot on. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will stand forever. Come after me. Run after me. Press in. There'll be times we'll be wowed. There are other times we won't feel squat, but it is worth it as we're pressing, as we're pressing, as we're going after him, as we're going after him. You don't have to be intimidated or frustrated by the season you are in. Seasons come, seasons go. Revivals come, revivals go. They serve their purpose, but there is one that remains the same. Moves of God, for instance, historically, when you read church history, when they break in power, it's like a rocket booster that'll take the church up into a particular orbit where she needs to be, then it'll burn off. And everybody's like, wow, where's that surge? Where's that surge? And it's like, it got you up into that orbit. It doesn't need to be there. And then God will do another rocket booster, but it'll never be like the former one. And people will try to replicate the former one. Oh, I remember the Jesus movement. Oh, I remember the charismatic renewal. Oh, I remember the latter rain movement. Oh, I remember the word movement or the healing movement. Oh, I remember da-da-da-da. You see, it served a purpose. It got the church into a unique orbit where she needed to be. But we don't stay with our feet in the sand. We just say, all right, Lord, where are you? Where are you? The disciples had no idea what was coming down the pike 50 days from them. Again, they went fishing. They just kind of went their own way. I mean, there were those that were devout, but there were those that were confused. They had no idea right around the corner, Pentecost, right around the corner, the gift the Father had promised, the gift of the Holy Spirit was about to come upon them. They had no idea the church was about to be born and missions would go all over the world. They had no idea. They couldn't discern properly the season. Therefore, we are to be steadfast and remain the same. Circumstances come, circumstances go. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, when a wave comes, enjoy it and ride it to the full. Milk it for all it's worth. But we don't build on the wave. We build on the rock. Are we here? We build on the rock. We don't build on the season. We let it come, but we build on the rock. Easter had come 2,000 years ago. Easter had gone. Pentecost had not yet broken in. But Jesus starts appearing to people left and right. He was appearing to people left and right. The gig was not over because the gig is all about Him. It's all about Him. You know what makes heaven, heaven? Jesus. You take Jesus out of the equation, it ain't heaven. Hello? That's why we can have heaven on earth. As long as Jesus is in the mix. Are we here? Pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. Here on earth, even as it is in a... The Lord Jesus, the Christ, God the Father, and the Son, and the Spirit. But Jesus began to appear. He appeared to over 500 people we read about last week and today in 1 Corinthians 15. He appeared to Peter and the 12, and he appeared to Paul, who was Saul, and he's appearing still. Between the times, we still rely on Him. But He came. I mean, He began to break in. He began to encourage them. Even old Thomas. Thomas, put your hand right in here. Remember when Jesus was going to be crucified? He said, oh, let's just go with Him and just die with Him. He kind of had that Eeyore spirit. You know, we might as well just be handed up with Him. You know, bless his heart. But He worked with them. And He strove with them. But there was that period where it went from high to low, day in, day out. Sometimes there were goosebumps, sometimes there were none. It was immaterial. Maturity is staying with Him throughout. The times are not what conquered our hearts at salvation and otherwise. Jesus did. The times didn't conquer us. Jesus did. The season is not what we were converted to. We were converted to the man Christ Jesus. Are we here? And we stay with Him in good times and in bad times, and He stays with us in good times and in bad times. Jesus did. We don't live out of false nostalgia of a former time, and we don't live with the only notion of there being some amazing future time. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. But we do have right now. And we do have Him. We have Jesus in the now. Again, He is what makes heaven, heaven. So, between the times, we go after and grasp Jesus and hold on every day, one day at a time. He's what made He is what made the season what it is. Now, can you imagine thinking all was lost? I mean, Peter, y'all know he was impetuous. He couldn't stand before the servant girl, yet he always made boast, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I mean, he really was pretty down and out. And that's why Jesus had to truly appear to Peter, you know, and reinstate him. You know, when he saw that it was the Lord, he jumped into the water. He put his cloak around him and jumped in. Most of us, when we jump in water, we take our cloak off, you know. But anyway, he was so amazed. He thought, it is real. I thought it was over, but it is real. And there's Jesus cooking fish on the beach, and he's amazing. He recognized the master. Peter, do you love me? Oh, yes. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me more than these? Yes. Tend my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Each one corresponding to his denial. And so he went from the zenith of zenith down to the doldrums where he couldn't stand before a servant girl, goes back fishing, thinks it's over. Then Jesus begins to reappear to him to let him know, I forgive you, it's okay. I'm going to take you in your failure because you were full of self. And now I'm going to begin to dress you and encourage you and forgive you. And that was good enough. But then on the day of Pentecost, it came 50 days later. They could have never predicted this. Even though Jesus told them, go tarry and go wait. Go on up to Galilee and wait. That just went, that was like water off a duck's back. It just went right over their head. What do you mean go tarry? You're dead. What are we tarrying for? You see. But when that miracle happened on Pentecost, that cowardly Peter went from Clark Kent to Superman in a moment. And he stood up when the Spirit of God was poured out. See, he thought it was over. Can you imagine thinking something's completely over all of a sudden to have all of your fears, all of your concerns, all of your anxieties completely reversed, and all of a sudden God breaks in by the massive outpouring of the person of the Holy Spirit? That's why he said, it's better that I go away. Because if I don't go to the Father, I couldn't send you the Spirit. See, the physical Jesus could only be at one place at one time. But when his Spirit was poured out, he could be anywhere all the time at once. And all of a sudden, this amazing gift of God, Holy Spirit, is poured out at Pentecost. They are all dressed in the anointing, and they are all dripping with the Spirit of God. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire resting on each one of them, praising God in other tongues and other languages. And he began to mantle them with boldness for service. And then that same cowardly Peter, who during that time of in between the times, who thought it was over, all of a sudden he realizes it ain't over. And he stands up with fresh vigor and a fresh clear eye and head of steam and said, let all Israel know this, that God has raised this Jesus whom you crucified. He has raised him from the dead, and now he has made him both Lord and Christ. And when the people heard Peter, they were cut to the heart and said, what should we do? He said, repent, be baptized, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children, for those that are near and far off, and those that are far off, and all those whom the Lord our God will call. And right there, pow, 3,000 were born again in a moment. It went from high, high, low, low, to overwhelmingly high. He did get raised from the dead. Now he's poured out the Holy Spirit. He birthed the church. Now he's given us a commission. They heard the commission before in Matthew 28, but again, they couldn't grasp it because they thought it was over. And then they begin to remember and recount the words. That's right. He said, go into all the world. That's right. Go into all the world. Preach to the nations. Make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the name of the Spirit. Between the times do matter. No glitter, no excitement, as it were. Go over to 2 Timothy 2. I love this passage. You're doing okay. 2 Timothy 2. Here Paul said, you then, my son Timothy, be strong in what? In the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. Verse 6, the hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Then he says, reflect on what I'm saying. The Lord will give you insight into this. In other words, there are mountaintop, zenith, amazing, powerful seasons. But then there are those times where we're caught in between. And this is when we take on the characteristics of 2 Timothy 2, when he talks here about the hardworking farmer in the heat of the day, no goosebumps, no glitter, doing the stuff day in and day out. Just being faithful day in and day out. Just loving God day in and day out. Loving that word day in and day out. Developing a prayer life day in and day out. Looking for opportunity to share your faith day in and day out. If you have goosebumps, great, that's a bonus. If not, you have a stewardship. Just day in and day out. Be strong in the grace of the Lord. Then there'll be another peak, and it's like, woo, and all of a sudden you're kind of riding on it. You're like, whoa, you know, and the current is kind of carrying you, and it's just kind of bubbling up underneath you, and you're like, whoa. Oh, and you're getting carried, and there's energy, and there's momentum, but it's got nothing to do with you. It's just a freebie from God. He just gives that energy, and it's fun. But again, every wave will crest. But I cannot tell you how many people I have met that they're still in the sand like this. I remember that wave was so amazing. Where'd it go? And it's like, it was a wave. It was a season. Go back out and look for him. But we're not going to make a God out of the wave. We're not going to make a God out of the season. Go back. There's more to come. Will we wade out and get it? That's the question. Will we go get it? And again, I think the disciples, again, because they were so heartbroken, they didn't remember the words of the Lord. In Matthew 28, 8 through 10, he gave them a commissioning before he went on. It says, so the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to do what? To go to Galilee. There they will see me. So he's giving them some encouragement, giving them a hint. Also in Mark 16, again, the same account. Don't be alarmed, he said. You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene who was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. But it's like they couldn't hear it because they thought it's over. It's like, I'm finishing one season. Now get over there, get in position for the next one. But many times, how many of y'all know, even in the business world, promotion comes to the one prepared. Hello? Promotion comes to the one prepared. So he's saying, go ahead, go into Galilee and wait. And then he also told them, tarry and wait for the gift my Father is giving you. And so we honor what he did. And it's like, we're going to tarry for the next thing. But even if he didn't break in, which he will, I'm still going to love Jesus. Even if we never saw a move of God, even if revival did tarry and it didn't come in our generation, I'm still going to stay with him. You know why? He's enough. He is enough. He's attractive enough. He's beautiful enough. Amen? Let's just stop with that. Let's stand on our feet. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, wow. An amazing lull of bewilderment, confusion, fear, returning to business as usual. Having no clue that merely in 50 days, one of the greatest explosions would rock the world. They had no idea. It's almost as if God allowed them to be broken and hopeless before he came back again in greater power in the next wave. They were emptied so they could be filled. Lord, we just thank you for what we celebrated last week, even as the first church, Lord, had their Easter. But then, Lord, there was that in-between time. And Lord, we just declare to you today that you are sufficient and you are enough. But Lord, we also thank you that you have a plan in the earth and a purpose. And we ask you for the grace to successfully ride every wave you send our way. Every season of grace you send our wave. Father, may we get on it. May we ride it. May we milk it for all it's worth. And when it crests and when it's over, may we wade back out and look again. Where are you? What are you doing? What's the next thing? What's the next visitation? Lord, we thank you for that perspective. In the name of the Lord, Jesus, loom larger in our eyes. We just pray. We pray for an expanded view of who you are. And Lord, we not only pray for ourselves, we just right now offer up this Rice Brooks outreach right now. We pray for others that need to comprehend who you are. We've tasted of you and it is good. But the only thing greater than intimacy with the Lord is helping someone else find a place of intimacy. So we just pray for that outreach on April 18th. And we just pray that you draw people in supernaturally from the north, south, east, and west. Draw them in. And Father, may their questions be answered. And may they see there's no disparity between science and faith. May they see that Jesus truly was a historical figure who walked the earth. And we're just declaring there'll be many eyes that'll be open. There'll be many that'll turn to you. We ask you, dress that moment with your Holy Spirit. May that be a powerful moment, we declare. And we begin now and commit to store up prayer unto that moment. Lord, sensitize us who we're to invite, Lord, who we're to bring along. And we just pray that'll be a moment of moments, oh God, as we had our faith, as we had our consecration, as we had our prayer, even fasting, and our commitment, oh God, to draw out others. We just believe you for this, oh God. Thank you for Easter. But Lord, we also are thanking you in advance for Pentecost and everything in between. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we love you, Jesus. You are enough every day. You are enough. We bless you and love you. In the name of the Lord, amen. Amen, gang.